to recovery. We'll have to be patient with the poor boy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we turn our hearts and minds to your word this morning, please, would you be our teacher, our guide? Would you soften our hearts? Would you shape our thoughts? Would you direct our whole lives into your ways and your wisdom, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. When it comes to thinking about money, we all want to be wise, don't we? We want to be wise. And millions of people turn, of course, to Martin Lewis, the money-saving expert, for help to make the most of their money, whether they have a little or a lot of it. Psalm 49 also claims to give us sound financial advice. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all you who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. And what is the financial wisdom of this psalm? It's summed up in verse 12. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. No matter how much of a money-saving expert we are, no matter how wealthy we become, in the end, you and I are like wild animals that die. Verse 14 speaks of the rich in this regard. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. So yes, wealth can buy us a good diet and better health care, or at least prompt health care. But verse 7 tells us that no matter how many millions you or your friends have, no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. You see, ultimately, all wealth can do is to provide an impressive monument over your grave. Under the ground, the body decays in the same way as the person who has nothing. And so if we have ears to hear the wisdom of this psalm, our attitude towards money and life itself will be discerning, will be changed, will be wise. And you see, the psalm, although initially appears to be without hope, actually is full of hope. Hope that the grave is not the end, and that this kind of hope transforms present attitudes and ambitions. So verse 15, but God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. No matter how much wealth I have, I can never buy my life. I can never redeem my life from God's judgment and from the grave. But God, he can, he will redeem us from death. More than that, he will take us to himself. Easter, we just celebrated, reminded us that Christ overpowered death. And today, right here, right now, God offers to redeem you from the inevitability of your eternal death. He will give you the absolute promise and guarantee that he will take you to himself when your body dies and your wealth is left behind. And that new perspective, if only we will grasp it, that new perspective not only transforms our attitudes towards wealth and life, but it actually begins to calm that most destructive of emotions, envy. So, verse 16. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. When it comes to the coronation next week, we're going to see plenty of wealth on show, aren't we? As various people gowned in their fine robes and so on go processing and so on. Or you could just walk around Tunbridge Wells and look at some of the houses, the cars, the shop windows. There is so much to make us envious in life. See the holiday photos on Facebook or Instagram. Listen to the description of the new dog or the new car or the new kitchen, and you may well be provoked to envy. But when we sense that covetousness creeping up on us, then we need to lift our eyes and see the bigger picture. For all the splendor we might covet, remember, it will not last. It will not descend with the grave it will not descend to the grave with them or with us. It is the hope of eternal life, living close to God himself, that brings us this new perspective on all that we have and all the things that we don't have as well. As the Apostle Peter says in the New Testament, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your hope and faith are in God. Do you begin to see how the psalm, the wisdom of the psalm, shows us how we can deal with that inevitable envy and covetousness that creeps up on all of us? And it may not be possessions that someone else has. It may be their beauty, their good looks, their power, their promotion, their family. All sorts of things that we can covet or envy, but we take none of them to the grave with us. So there's no point in being envious, is there? This life is brief. Eternity is long. Well, before we look to how Jesus continues with this theme, let's stand and sing. So, Psalm 49 offered us a different ending to the story of our lives. Rather than ending far from our princely mansions in death and decay, we're redeemed out of the realm of the dead, and God takes us to himself. Now, as Jesus preaches his Sermon on the Mount, as this is part of, he rewrites the earlier chapters of our lives, how we live in this life now, as citizens of his kingdom. So here in these verses, he talks about treasure, and then eyes, and then masters. The link between the first and the last is fairly obvious, isn't it? But the middle one, the bit about the eyes and darkness, it's a bit puzzling, and it's hard to see how it links. Well, the link between treasure, eyes, and masters is the need to be single-minded, undistracted citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus begins with a warning. do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. If you can't take your treasures with you when you die, surely you'll want to make the most of your treasures here and now in this life, won't you? Surely you will want to store up for yourselves treasures on earth in the hope that they will bring you joy and happiness on earth. But the reality is that earthly treasures are vulnerable, aren't they? Moths, vermin, thieves threaten to ruin or steal your treasures. All earthly treasures, everything we value on this earth, is vulnerable. This week we had to buy a new tumble dryer at home. Why? Well, because the old one wore out. And having used our new tumble dryer just twice, it is on that road already to wearing out. That's what happens to everything, isn't it? It may not be moths particularly, or vermin. Sometimes that does happen. But everything in life is temporary. Everything is decaying, gradually wearing out, including, of course, our own bodies. Hey, Phil. So, says Jesus, stop storing up treasures on earth. Stop it. And start storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Commit yourselves to permanent treasures, to things that last and don't decay. But how? What are these treasures in heaven? Well, first of all, we must not simply think of heaven as life after death. Life in the kingdom of heaven starts now, today. We begin our life in the kingdom of heaven when we give our life to Christ. So we store up treasure in heaven when we live kingdom-shaped lives, lives that are in line with the values of God's kingdom. And we don't have to look far here in Matthew to find out what these teachings, what these things are, these treasures are. This is, as I say, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is teaching about life in his kingdom now. So let's pick out a few of these characteristics. You might want to turn back just to chapter 5 on page 968 and follow through as I pick out a few of these treasures. So, verse 22 in chapter 5. Kingdom treasure is not allowing anger against a brother or sister to bubble up, but replacing it with compassion and forgiveness. Verses 27 to 32. Kingdom treasure is about sexual purity or marital faithfulness. In fact, we store up treasure in heaven every time we reject sin and do what is right. Then from verse 33 onwards, kingdom treasure is honesty and integrity. It's not taking revenge. It's loving our enemies. It's praying for those who persecute us. On into chapter 6, and Jesus shows us how we store up treasure in heaven when we give generously, but quietly. And then we discover the treasures of prayer and private fasting. And if these things are your treasures, if these are the things you love to do, they will demonstrate where your heart is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But if you kick against this kind of life, then clearly that's not where your treasure is it? Is this the life you'd love to live? You know you fail, you know you mess up, but that's where your heart is. That's what you'd love to be doing. That's your treasure. And if our life is dedicated to kingdom living, It cannot be dedicated also at the same time to earthly, worldly living. If we're storing up treasures in heaven, we can't at the same time be storing up treasures on earth. But actually, Jesus is saying even more than this. He's saying that if our heart, our life, is set on storing up earthly treasure, then life itself will be eaten up. It will decay. Our very lives will decay and rot and in the end be destroyed. But if our heart, our whole life and purpose for living, is set on storing up treasure in heaven, then life itself here and now will thrive. It'll be good, it'll be secure and safe with Christ now and forever. And so, Jesus now goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. Obviously, the eye enables us to see. It lets light into our body and helps us find our way. So Jesus says, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, if you see clearly, you can follow the map. You can take the right path. You can go the right way in life. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eyes don't work, there's no other way of seeing. You can't turn to your ears and ask them to do the seeing for you. No, if your eyes are unhealthy, you are in the dark, and decisions become harder. Now, of course, if, like our dear friend Maria or my friend Ellen, you're blind and you know it, then you compensate for that. And both Maria and Ellen are wonderful examples of how do you do that. But if you are blind but think that you see, you're in trouble, aren't you? You're in big trouble. And that's what Jesus means when he says, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If you think you can see, if you think you understand life, if you think by storing up treasures on earth, you're being wise, then Jesus says, my goodness me, you're in for a shock. So the bottom line is this. If you can see clearly, you'll see the stupidity of storing up treasures on earth. And you'll see the wisdom of storing up treasures in heaven. And yet, we all know, don't we, how hard it is not to be envious of those who store up treasures on earth. People who can buy the sorts of things that we would love to be able to afford to buy. Who can go on the holidays that we would love to be able to go on. And we're tempted to try and have our cake and eat it. We're tempted to be Christian, but oh, not too keen or too enthusiastic. And what happens, you know, Christ becomes like the kind of background music to life. It's always there, but pretty much unnoticed most of the time. Meanwhile, life goes on and we march to the beat of a different drum. We think we're living a balanced life. We kid ourselves. We kid ourselves. We think we see clearly, but the light that is within us is a great darkness when we try to do that. And that is why, in verse 24, Jesus slams the point home. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot live life with Christ as the background music while you actually follow the way of the world. Let's lighten things a little bit. The four-eyed fish. Anableps, anableps. has eyes that are split horizontally so that it can focus on things above the water and below the water at the same time. We cannot do that. We cannot focus our lives on serving Christ and serving ourselves at the same time. We cannot store up for ourselves treasures on earth and at the same time store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. The conflict between the two will drive us to frustration because we cannot do both. And then we'll end up resentful because each is competing with the other for our attention. It is unsustainable. And we'll end up hating one and loving the other. And I tell you what, in my experience, I know which one people end up loving. Christ can never be merely the background music to life. Our Christian faith cannot be a hobby. It cannot be part of life. It can't be an add-on. It's not the icing on the cake. Christ is everything. He is our life. He is the one who redeemed us out of the decaying life and the destruction of death. And he did that by shedding his blood on the cross, by giving everything for us. And so the only proper response to Christ is to spend our lives storing up treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. That's the way to honor him. That's the way to a good life, a kingdom life, a life that follows in the very footsteps of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we see from that psalm that with clarity the folly of chasing wealth, even perhaps the relatively small amounts of wealth that we have. Our Heavenly Father, we see in our mind's eye the gravestone, our permanent home, if we have made money our idol. But then we see the cross. And then we see that our life is redeemed by Christ and we can be brought from death to life, brought close to the Father's side. And our Heavenly Father, that is our heart's desire. That is our life's trajectory. Please help us. Please help us to see things as they really are. Please help us, Heavenly Father, to make kingdom treasures our treasures and to live to build up treasure in heaven that glorifies our Saviour Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.